Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thescope. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we jump into a modified format, Man of Steel is up for review, and Adam burns all his Justin Bieber fan art after learning about Prism.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, Scope fans. Episode 140 of your favorite podcast. Coming at you, Jared, Adam, and Shane. Jared, Adam, and the Shane in the house.
Shader of the weed.
Shader of the weed.
Someday we'll do that.
That's a whole nother thing. So, hey, everybody, let's get right down to it. Jared teased it in the top of the show. We've got an announcement to make. It's nothing but Tiffany's or whatever it is, Jared. What kind of drum is that?
Chimpanzee.
That's timpani.
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 Yes. Off to an electric start here.
Everybody, the show format is changing.
I need some sort of fanfare horns. I don't have them.
So we've, you haven't been paying attention, we haven't been great with getting the show out on a regular schedule as of late, and by as of late, I probably mean the last year and a half or so. It's
Bi-weekly schedule has sort of gone down the toilet.
Yeah, it went to bi-weekly, and then we sort of thought maybe a show every 3 weeks would be good, and sometimes it kicks into a show every 6 weeks, it seems like. So we've been doing some soul-searching, and we're going to implement... Yeah, I know. We've decided that we are going to implement something that we've been talking about...
Feels like 2 years.
For 2 years. And that is to give you more shows with more condensed content, a little bit shorter, but we want to give it to you on a regular basis. So, Adam, what does that mean exactly?
It means I will be doing even less work.
That's it, right?
That was my understanding.
The whole idea is to make this a lot easier on Adam.
I've been fighting
a lot harder on us
for 2 years, yeah, for that reason.
So I guess what you're going to find is the goal is to have a new show in a cycle of... 3 weeks, so we'd have three shows in a row new, and possibly have new shows all the time, but there might be a break in there.
We'll start out, I think our goal is to record every 4 weeks and record three episodes. Sorry, am I peeling back the curtain a bit too much?
That's all right.
Record three episodes in each session, and then release those 1, 2, 3, the fourth week in the cycle. For now, will probably be an off week. We have plans to go back and mine the archives. We have 6 years of archives, people. Six years to mine the archives for some greatest hits material and maybe put together some 20 to 30 minute best of episodes to fill in the fourth week of the cycle.
Or if we want to just kick the cycle off in that fourth week again, we certainly could
do that. We can do that if we're feeling like it's going to work out. Yeah.
So we've
can
got do that.
Or maybe one of our fantastic B-block segments goes extra long, and we split that into another episode. Who knows? We've got a little flexibility here is what we're getting at.
The idea is we're learning, and we hope that you can learn along with us. And, of course, any feedback on how we change this would be great. If you like it, let us know. If you don't.
And if we didn't point it out yet, they're going to be shorter episodes.
Yeah.
More condensed, as you said. So none of this 90 to 100-minute BS that we've been doing over the years. It's a bit much, and... And I know a lot of people probably like the longer format, but for people who want to listen to something on a commute or something like that, it's a bit much. So I think there's a possibility that the long length has maybe been holding back us retaining or bringing on new listeners, and that's another goal of this show, of the format change, is try to make it a little easier for people to get in and digest the show if they haven't tried it out. I know for me, if I was going to check out a new show, and I saw it was an hour 40 minutes, I'd be like, boy, I don't know if I have time for that. I'm probably not even going to bother. But sure, if it's a half an hour, I might give it a shot. So Not saying that we're going to nail that half an hour format right off the bat, but that's kind of what we're shooting for.
And the other goal is to keep it as unfunny as possible through every single
show. We're doing a really good job so far.
We're right on point. So that ought to be something we're aiming for. So I think we're all excited to get the new format kicked off. And what are we going to do for our very first short format show? Jared, Adam, we've got a movie review of possibly could be the biggest movie of the summer. We'll have to see what the box office returns show. But it's looking good so far. Of course, I'm talking about Zack Snyder's Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's about Superman, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know what? We never picked what clip we're going to play, so
we will play them all. This is new format, Jared. It's Uncharted.
I got it. I'll roll with it.
So yeah, we'll be getting into an in-depth discussion about Man of Steel and maybe some of the other Superman movies. You never know. I will also do a shortened version of Under the Scope. So just stick around for that because it's new, invigorated, and improved, and you get all your wacky banter from Jared, Adam, and myself. So why don't we jump right into episode 140? We've got a lot coming at you. It's going to be very exciting. So stick around, guys. More show coming soon.
This is The Fump.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. I'm on a cruise ship on the water. And there's nothing that could spoil it if we only had a single working toilet.
O-H-M-Y-G-O-D-I-M-O-N-F-I-R-E.
Take me down to the Vatican City where the nuns get done and the priests get pretty. Make me pope.
Man, when we'd reached the dragon's lair, he argued tactics for an hour till we fed him to the dragon. Then we killed it in 3 rounds. Best game ever.
What doesn't kill you makes you smaller. Mushrooms make you taller. That's what makes you Super Mario.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com. Funny.
Everybody, Scope episode 140 is back. I'm calling it the espresso of Scope formats, Jared. Tiny little cup, condensed flavor.
Did you say espresso?
I said espresso.
I'm going to call it the espresso.
I like that. That's very 90s. Get an X in there. Mm-hmm. Drop the E. Espresso.
Dropping the E is also very 90s.
It is. So we have a movie review coming at you. It is for the latest superhero blockbuster smash, Man of Steel. And I'm going to throw it over to Adam, and he is going to get right to it. Adam.
Sure. Yeah. We saw Man of Steel, which is the latest Superman movie. It comes from prodigious team.
With the new format, we will struggle with pronunciation.
Yeah.
Symphony.
It comes from Zack Snyder, Christopher Nolan, and David S. Goyer. Just to give you some background, director Zack Snyder is probably best known for 300. He wrote and directed that.
He might be one of the most polarizing genre directors in all of Hollywood.
Forget Watchmen.
Right, Watchmen. He did the 2004 reboot of the fast zombie version of Dawn of the Dead. And that Owl movie.
What?
That animated Owl movie.
I've seen almost all of them in the theater.
What was the weird girls in the...
Sucker Punch.
Never saw that one. Too.
I did. It was kind of all right.
All right.
Very visual in its presentation, obviously. Zack Snyder's.
Wink, wink. Visual, made cleavage.
Christopher Nolan also is involved. He's the producer on the movie. He's, of course, wrote and directed the most three recent Batman movies, Inception, The Prestige, and Memento. So
those are the Batman movies, huh?
No. Oh, I was saying in addition to those. Okay. Yeah. If you know what, if you watch those three movies, you'll see there's a
Batman
bunch of,
just sneaks. You see his head in the background.
It's Where's Waldo of Chris Nolan movies. And finally, David S. Goyer, he either wrote the story or the screenplay for those most recent Batman movies, as well as Blade, Dark City, and a bunch of other action movies. He also wrote 5 episodes of Flash Forward and the stories for Call of Duty Black Ops and Black Ops 2. Which I kind of...
What a pedigree,
Yeah, well, thinking of that now, that kind of does feed into the end of this movie, I think, a little bit. Of course, the movie stars Henry Cavill as... 3 roles, guys.
Three?
Clark Kent, Kal-El, and Superman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Triple threat. Amazing.
It's basically Eddie Murphy in Coming to America.
It does.
Same
Hercules,
sort of thing.
Hercules, right?
Wrong movie. This movie needed more Arsenio.
Come on, Cletus.
Amy Adams as our new Lois Lane. Mm-hmm. Diane Lane and Kevin Costner as Superman's parents. Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White in the DC Universe's version of Sam Jackson as Nick Fury.
Except he's a newspaper reporter.
Exactly.
Not a leader of
a spy operation.
Well, I just
mean the formerly white character as now a black character.
He's also a frequenter of some of Metropolis's most famous delis, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Unlike you, I don't see color.
All right.
He embodied Perry White to me.
Right. That was a fat joke. Sorry.
He is getting large, right? I'd say he's doubled in size since the last Matrix movie.
I like the fact that he was wearing an earring.
I missed that.
He was wearing a diamond stud.
I noticed that too. Let's see. Also, Russell Crowe as Jor-El, Superman's dad.
It was amazing how he sung all his dialogue.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm going to launch you into space.
The film acts as a reboot to the Superman franchise, erasing 2006's
condensed
film.
Content.
Brandon Routh, where are you? So
apparently hoping for that Chuck movie.
Yeah. Real quick.
We've got 12 minutes. Go.
Oh, really? Just to give you an idea of how this kind of came about. When DC kind of was playing with the idea of rebooting the franchise, Grant Morrison, Mark Waid, Jeff Johns, Brad Meltzer, they all had their own pitches to DC.
Yes.
None of them won. David S. Goyer's did.
Include organic body armor.
Right.
Weird flying dragons.
So did either of you read All-Star Superman, which was Grant Morrison's book? I really like that book. Yep. They turned it into an animated movie, which is really good, too. And I think that had they not done that, that would have been my pick. But I don't work for...
That really wasn't an origin story of Superman.
You're right. It didn't happen.
I think for that to work, you'd have to have a working knowledge of the Superman universe. Okay. There were things that I didn't understand in it, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, the little city?
A lot of things in there.
All right. Well, so
Adam has to hydrate.
All right.
We've got Rubio in here.
It's hard work.
All right. So just to get into the actual movie, this short format's working out really well so far. To get into the movie, talking about it, a quick plot summary. It's the origin story of Superman. So Krypton's about to explode. Jor-El and I guess Lara-El
Laurel.
Laurel, yeah.
But by the way, spoilers aplenty here, I would say.
Sure.
So
we're after release, so we can spoil all we want.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's our rule.
They send their son away because the planet's about to be blown up.
And there's a big showdown in the Senate chamber.
Right.
What are you doing, Zod? This is madness.
What I should have done years ago.
These lawmakers, with their endless debates, have led Krypton to ruin.
And if your forces prevail...
You'll be the leader of nothing.
Then join me. Help me save our race. We'll start anew. We'll sever the degenerative bloodlines that led us to this state.
And who will decide which bloodline survives on?
You.
You?
Oh, yeah.
Don't do this, Al.
Never had control of
the last thing I want is for us to be enemies.
You forget the principles that bound us together. You've taken up the sword against your own people. I will honor the man you once were, Zod. Not this monster you've become.
So nothing yet.
Cruise, like the sneak.
So that kicks off the movie. General Zod leads an insurgency against the elected, I guess, leaders of Krypton.
The fancy headdresses.
I believe it's pronounced Krypton.
Ah, yes, thank you. Kryptonville. Krypton. Before Krypton explodes, they sentence them to the Phantom Zone, which seemed ridiculous to me because eventually they do escape because Krypton blows up. Anyway, you know, back down on Earth, we've got Clark, as he is given his name by his American parents. Earthly parents, mm-hmm. Whatever.
They're Americans.
And the movie kind of takes place in, you know, current day, we'll say. And there's a lot of flashbacks to him, to Clark growing up.
Yeah, like the first third is very kind of presented non-linearly.
Yeah.
It's, it sort of cuts back to poignant moments as needed.
Yep. Eventually, Clark does kind of, you know, reveal himself to the world. And there's all that, you know, do we trust him? He's an alien. He's an alien, guys.
Hogwash.
Yeah.
Right. How did he get over that wall?
Exactly. from Canada. Obviously, he's white. So.
Oh, right.
And then Zod does come to Earth, and there's a
My name
lots
is
of
General Zod.
Yes.
I have journeyed across an ocean of stars to reach you. Your world has sheltered one of my citizens.
You are not alone.
He will look like you, but he is not one of you. To those of you who know of his location, the fate of your planet rests in your hands.
He's dubstep fan.
He's coming to get Skrillex.
Beat drop.
It's coming over the RSS feed. Within
24 hours.
What?
Or watch this world suffer the consequences.
You better start dropping your rating, boys.
I feel like
you're doing nothing but ripping on this film so far.
We're having fun.
I feel like that was
7 minutes.
Their shot at Google Reader for shutting down.
Yeah.
It's coming over the RSS feed.
Makes no sense, but right. You don't even have to have that line. But whatever, carry on.
So
women, they don't know technology. Am I right?
A whole lot of fighting.
It's on my phone, too.
I'd say the last hour of the movie is just all lots and lots of fighting. So I don't want to get into what happens at the end, but you know,
we'll get into it.
Sure.
all right.
And talk about it here in a second, but I do want to mention one thing. I guess spoil it a little bit. Superman does not die at the end, in case you were worried about that happening.
I was.
Also, a couple days before the movie was released, it was announced that Zack Snyder and David S. Goyer will both be returning for Man of Steel sequel, which is being fast-tracked by Warner Brothers. Goyer had previously signed a 3-film deal anyway, which includes both this movie, Man of Steel, the sequel, and the Justice League film featuring Superman.
Which they laid out the groundwork for in this film so beautifully.
You're being sarcastic?
Hugely sarcastic.
Okay, yes.
Is that important, though?
Well,
I think it is.
Yeah, so supposedly there are superheroes. They just have not come forward yet. But now Superman will allow them to more comfortably come forward. Did you guys see the LexCorp?
Yep.
Saw that.
Truck?
I missed the Wayne
Industries. I didn't see that.
There
yeah,
was supposed to be an Easter egg for that, too.
It was
that.
On the satellite, I think, that they crash into at the end.
That's gotcha. Okay.
So that's General Zod, just to the movie.
Are we done with the clips?
Yes.
So just had the two.
So no clips of actual Clark Kent or Superman talking, just Zod mostly.
He mostly flies.
So it's really the Zod story. It's the sad, tragic downfall of General Zod.
Really. Well.
Or as I like to call it, the extra crazy Schrute family member. Jeez Louise.
I thought he looked like the guy from The Wire, McNulty.
Like the costume design on Zod?
No, I think that he'd look like a Schrute brother, that's okay. All. Yeah.
You just go. You keep talking. You so get your feelings out.
So we
let it out.
We
purge.
Did quickly talk about this film before the show started. And I'm going to be honest, I'm rating it lower than the rest of the guys, and if it were just up to me, it'd get a lower score. I think the movie really is...
Is that our new thing on the show now? We always say, look, I didn't want to go long.
Yeah.
We used to come together, pool our resources, and quit looking at the clock. I'm going to say my point here. We used to pool
2 minutes,
our resources.
2 minutes, go, 30 seconds.
All right, whatever.
No,
go on.
I'm just kidding.
Ever since this new format, guys, has been driving us apart.
You don't like it? Go ahead, talk.
Next. No, I think the movie to me is definitely split into two distinct parts. You've got, you know, the origin story, the beginning part where it's, you know, pre-Superman battling and destroying the universe, and then you've got the Superman versus Zod part, which, as Adam said, it's an hour or more of just continual fighting. That to me, it was kind of like getting a six scoop sundae, and you know, having the ability to put any topping you want on it. At the topping station, and then you put on sprinkles, and then you put on hot fudge.
And you have them send out for more.
And then you put on pineapple, and then you put on cherries, and then you put on more ice cream. It was like overdone compared to the other part of the movie, which I really, really liked. I liked Clark growing up. I thought that it was handled nicely. I thought, in general, the acting in the film was really well done. I liked everybody that was in it, with the exception of all the weird hot women that had weird accents that apparently got big roles, whether it be okay. Whether it be the mother of Clark or the assistant of Zod. I didn't understand what they were saying. They just talked in strangely Eurocentric accents for whatever reason.
I'm not racist, so I understand fine.
I don't see color, Jerry, but I definitely do hear.
You hear color.
I hear color.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There are certain plot points in here that to advance the story really bothered me. Lois Lane discovering Superman on the frozen tundra by randomly taking a picture and then zooming in it and seeing a Yeti walk through was completely bogus to me.
That was a little
strange. I mean, it's like that was really a huge stretch to kind of pick that off.
Everything with Lois was a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because when she shows up on the B-17 bomber, like it's almost like they were joking because she like, you know, peeks her head out. And she's like, all right, I'm ready to help.
But
and
I got a
like,
flight suit. You know?
By the way, she's probably Kryptonian because she made it from that barren plain outside of the city to Midtown in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Amazingly fast.
Lois Lane, who always plays a sort of a terrific foil to the Superman Clark Kent, at least in their early part of their relationship.
Yeah.
It was wasted in this movie. I mean, you could have had the movie without her, essentially, and it wouldn't have made that much of a difference to me.
Yeah.
They forced a love story there, which did not develop, and it came out of nowhere for me. Yeah. It was really, that part was really disappointing.
Lois Lane is a classic starfucker, so that's all it is.
I think that's what it is. So, I mean, that's sort
of a bit of a speed romancer.
That's where I
sit
on
speed.
It.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think that, like I said, I think the casting was well done overall. I liked the new Superman. I liked about everything in it. I just think the plot oftentimes did not serve the people well, and it got to be a little noisy and tough to deal with at the end.
Do you feel like this movie, more than the Batman reboot, was a necessary evil to get the DC universe back to, you know, like on a parallel path with Marvel?
Maybe. I mean, I think you have to see what they do with it. I don't feel like they laid the groundwork in this film, other than in very general broad strokes where, okay, we've got a canvas and now we can play on it. I think that the goal in the Marvel movie universe was to not only inform the canvas, but also lay out the direction of where they're going to go next. And you don't really have that in this film.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's just there, and it just seems like they don't have a grand plan to really deal with what the next step is.
I don't feel like they had to like totally telegraph that in this film, though. I think you're right. They've created their new playground that other things can exist in. I think that's fine.
We'll see. I mean, obviously, you don't have to copy the Marvel universe
right
the way they've done it. But I think that where Marvel succeeds is they had purpose and they had vision. And DC and Warner Brothers has always struggled with that with their superhero franchise.
Yes.
So we'll see if they can do that, you know, have that vision and that scope, doing it the way they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we'll throw it to you two fellers.
Well, overall, I like the film. I mean, I agree with you. It's sort of a movie A, movie B, and at some point, it's definitely a cut. That last hour, to me, felt a little bit like the last hour of the third Transformers film, where it's just nonstop destruction, and it's sometimes
almost uncomfortable.
Almost, yeah. And if you feel like you know, there's a lot of people who died. Superman didn't always do a very good job of saving them. In fact, he didn't really do any job of saving any...
Saved one person other than Lois.
Right. He didn't really... At least I felt like in like the Richard Donner like Superman films, like he would be fighting the bad guy, but also would manage to sneak in some saving of regular humans. It probably could have used a little bit more of that. But I think the first half of the film, I think, was actually really, really well done. Boy, when they say that they are taking a more of a sci-fi approach on this one, they are not kidding. Because that Krypton sequence at the beginning, or the whole series of scenes, is all very, very sci-fi and very, very alien world. There's mounted beasts that they fly on. And while I didn't necessarily agree with all of their aesthetic decisions, I think overall it was pretty successful and sort of established the technology level and the style of the people that we then later on see bits and pieces of that.
I don't know if that's there just to establish why Superman would be wearing a big S, because sometimes that's the way it felt. Like, okay, we got to figure out why he has this weird looking S. So let's put him in weird body armor. But it's still, I agree with you. I think that they carried through the aesthetic enough.
There's only so much you can do with that S. I mean, it kind of looks goofy no matter who the guy is. You know, it worked in 1939 when the comics started and, you know, through the 40s and 50s. And now it seems a little weird, but you got to keep it because he's so iconic. So I guess they did their best they could to explain it. And at least they carried it through. Zod had an outfit, too, that had his own symbol. So at least it's consistent that way. I think they did a good job of sort of establishing why Clark Kent would have this angst over his abilities and his place in the world. I think they did a good job of making him relatable in that sense, and that was really one of the goals of this film, was to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing where I think they really did well was establishing credible motivations for Zod and his actions. Whereas the original Zod that we saw in film sort of was like just a petty criminal.
A prick.
Showed up, had superpowers, and like, oh, now I'm going to rule Earth. And that was really his motivation. At least this version of Zod had, he was predisposed to be a great military leader, and his purpose was to protect the people, and all of his, he even explained it, all of his actions were for the benefit of his people. Yeah. And so when he gets the technology and the means to try to restore Krypton on Earth, I mean, it makes sense from his worldview, that's what he would do. So I think that was nicely done there. And I really liked how the structure of the flashbacks worked. I think it was really, it actually did it for other stuff too, but they would like show you something and then they would sort of backtrack and explain how you got to that point. And that structurally, I think it really worked for me. But mm-hmm. I agree with you, the whole Super Sunday with everything on top analogy. That is how I felt about the end too. It was like more and more and more and more and more. The battle goes into space. The battle destroys all of the buildings in most of Metropolis. I don't know how they're going to repair that, but I'm hoping Superman will help.
A lot of Dyson vacuums.
So was very that dusty. Metropolis or was that Manhattan? Because I thought when it was like on, like there was an on-screen display as the ship was
It said Metropolis.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
So Adam, let me throw this over to you. One of the things that I found interesting was the whole idea of as Superman as alien and Superman, if the world discovers him or this alien, it changes the world view. How do you think that worked within the movie? Because a lot of times it really... That really was never an issue in any Superman movie, and even in the comics as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just more of like a alien that's really just a human being, and we're not really going to get into how it changes how people perceive their place in the universe.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but then I think Lex Luthor's central conceit as a human is built around that.
Sure.
And I guess that's, you know, different versions of Lex Luthor are kind of like that. I mean, they pay some lip service to it. You know, like initially everyone's scared of him and, you know, he makes the reference to people are afraid of what they don't understand and everything. But, you know, he saves a soldier.
Everything changes.
And then immediately, what's his face from Law and Order SVU is like, he's not our enemy. And you guys are good to go. Now, I mean, a more realistic view. Yeah, Christopher Maloney. Thank you. And maybe this will come up in the sequel, is people should be pissed at him for fucking destroying the biggest city, you know, the fake city, Metropolis. Yes. But so, you know, you could see people coming out, especially maybe Lex Luthor, if he's in the next one, saying, he's the reason for this. If he hadn't been on our planet, Zod never would have come here to, you know, destroy this and kill thousands of people.
There's two flaws I want to point out. Number one, Jor-El had a chance to kill Zod and didn't. He should have. Number two, as soon as the ship is destroyed over Metropolis and it's just Superman and Zod fighting, Superman should have hightailed it out to some desert or somewhere, taking the fight out of Metropolis. That was a mistake on his part.
A boo-boo.
A big boo-boo.
A super boo-boo.
It's not as exciting watching cacti blow up as it is giant skyscrapers, that would have been the right choice.
The skyscrapers might as well have been cacti, though, because you don't see any people at that point, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, so for Zod, I have always felt like he's not a very good villain for Superman because they have the exact same powers. It reminds me a lot of the first Iron Man movie where he's fighting Jeff Bridges in the, you know, fatter Iron Man suit.
We call that the Fishburne. Sorry, Lawrence.
Fishburne Mark II.
So, I mean, I like it when he fights people that are just different. You know, I guess for a first villain, it's fine. And, you know, it made sense maybe where it was.
At least it wasn't Lex Luthor because... Yeah.
Right.
I mean...
And Lex Luthor shouldn't be in the next one.
You
got
to introduce him at some point. But he's been a crutch too much.
Yep. I agree. So, you know, kind of speaking to that, Smallville, the main, you know, longtime villain in the show Smallville... was Lex Luthor. Both Jared and I watched, right? You watched Smallville, Jared?
I didn't finish the last couple seasons, but I did see the bulk.
And Shane, you did not watch it, right?
No, did not.
I wonder if Jared and I like this movie more. us liking the movie more, is a result of watching Smallville, where essentially nothing happened for 8 seasons.
Interesting.
And
we're just a little bit more, and we enjoy the Superman world a little
more. It's possible. Or like the fact that we got nothing for 8 years is like, you know what? I don't really care that there was an hour and a half of just punching. I mean, I did not, I don't necessarily like that in this movie.
It's good cardio.
But I don't think it, I dislike it as much. I definitely like the first half of the movie, just like you guys do. But I think that also speaks to the fact that origin stories are just cool. You know, like I could watch the, like Superman Birthright is probably my favorite comic, and it tells, you know, the origin story again. And I don't care. Like I can always rewatch those.
You like the journey to,
yeah,
you know, his, where he is now.
Yeah, so, once he gets, it's like there's too much Jesus stuff once he becomes Superman.
I was going to bring that up. Do you have any issues with the sort of Christian allegories being thrown out?
I mean,
the very literal presentation of him on the cross jumping out of the space station, or the fact that Zod says, or was it Zod or his henchman? Oh, it was Feyora, his henchwoman, who said, you know, evolution will win.
Yeah.
And then obviously didn't.
Well, I think that it speaks to the key tenet of this movie, which is subtlety.
Yeah.
Everything in this movie was really underplayed.
Well, so here's the thing. I feel like, bringing it back to Marvel comparison, Marvel movies have a swagger to them where I don't really know a better way to describe it other than, like, they don't take them, like, other than Spider-Man 3, they don't take themselves super seriously.
Sure.
They kind of, I think, understand the humor in it a little bit while being, you know, serious in a, you know, the world's going to end sort of way.
They get the audacity of the idea of superhumans living in a planet full of normal people.
Yeah.
And the movie universe represents that.
And I think that DC, I mean, so far, I mean, you can definitely look at the three Batman movies and this one to say, like, they kind of take themselves too seriously. Which is weird, considering it's a man dressed up as a bat, or essentially Jesus Christ from Krypton, saving the world and saving us. We don't need to be saved, all right?
We don't need it.
Sure. I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, you go back to why I may not like the movie as much as you guys. For me, it really is about the plot holes that you have there throughout this script. I mean, whether it be, you know, Zod and his henchmen being shot into the negative zone and all of Krypton being destroyed. Why don't you shoot everybody into the negative zone? Then everybody could live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would Pa Kent sacrifice himself for a dog?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Have you not seen Independence Day?
I've seen plenty.
That's what you do.
I mean, there's just certain things like that that happen to advance the plot that aren't...
Or reinforce the theme, yeah.
Or that aren't as thought out. And if... You know, you can get away with it sometimes, but if major backbones of the story are placed on that, you have to do everything else spotlessly or flawlessly to get away with it.
Okay, so real quick, can we talk about the fact that Superman kills someone?
Yeah, and that's another issue.
So
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Do you, Jared?
I didn't have a problem with him killing Zod.
I mean it's like...
What else was he going to do?
He's an unstoppable force.
He couldn't trick him into reversing their powers and then dump him into a smoky chasm like he didn't do. I mean that's a lame death. Might as well kill him.
I think when Superman does that, I think that that is a statement from him to humanity saying, I'm on your side and I'm here to protect you. And I, you know, it's the ultimate sacrifice. You're killing one of your own. But Jared said, what other option is there?
He was conflicted and he had no choice. So.
Well, the other option is invent something in the plot that you can do.
Sure.
To
I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, yeah. Like Pa Kent comes back with magical powers. And...
Oh,
yeah.
So...
Ghost of Pa and the dog. No, the dog lives. So
there was another Kryptonian somewhere on Earth, right? We got that. So the scout ship that he finds, the mobile Fortress of Solitude, there were two...
corpses?
Like, well, no, I thought one of them had a corpse in it, one of the pods.
There was a pod that was open.
And the other one was open. Ah. So is that Supergirl?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, there could be other... And obviously that opens the door for Kryptonians everywhere.
Right.
For all the planets that they...
Well, I mean, they could always just say, oh, there's another colony and this one survived.
Yeah.
No problem.
Exactly.
Was there another in DC, is there another Kryptonian other than Kara?
I think that there are other ones floating around there, but I don't know for sure. I mean, Marvel is my world in terms of comics, so...
And my last question...
Go ahead.
Is Christopher Maloney actually Martian Manhunter?
Which one is Christopher Maloney?
The pilot that he saves, that, you know, sacrifices himself at the end.
Ah, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe that's your hook.
His code name was Guardian, And Martian Manhunter's the closest, you know, guardian type character I find to Earth. So,
well, I think if they do something like that, that's a great hook. That's a great hook. So let's give this thing a score. We've discussed it to death.
Right.
Give it a score.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
I'm just padding the show.
Was it a success?
The movie was. I would say it was a minor success. By far,
it'll be a financial success for sure.
If you look at the Batman movies, I think that it's in line with the Batman movies because everyone knows that I have issues with two of the three Batman movies. Way better than Green Lantern. Not even in the same universe.
Green Lantern is pretty much doesn't exist. I mean, I'm sure they will reboot that, right?
They're rebooting it as R.I.P.D.
There it is. You got it.
No, that's Men in Black 4.
Right. So, yeah, I think we've given it a perfectly fair score. Jared Adam loved it.
I would say loved it. We're slightly above average.
Slightly above average. And
we're in the B range.
I think that it holds its own against many of the other summer action movies that we've seen so far.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So let's push on with more show. We got more stuff coming up right after this.
We now join the Scope, already in progress.
under the Scope.
Pushing on.
I love it. Yes, indeed. We've got Under the Scope, and the segment we'll be presenting to you today is coming soon. Everything you want to know about upcoming pop culture events, Adam's got it covered. So let's kick it over to him.
Sure. In the next week, we're not going to do 2 weeks anymore, just 1 week, music. Got some new albums coming out, including a new hit from Hanson.
Jared, your sister will be, she's probably in line already, waiting for it to come out.
I would not doubt
She loves Hanson. She at our birthday party, she was talking to me how much she loved Hanson.
Ironically, just really into
no,
it?
No, she loves Hanson.
Hey, good. That's good. I'm sure there's lots of people that still do. So sure. It's not, Primal Scream, new album from them. I don't know who that is. Sigur Rós?
Sigur Rós?
Did I pronounce it right?
I'll say yes.
Oh, those Icelandics. Yeah. I don't know how to do it. Movies. We got Monsters University coming out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Early reviews on it, very mixed.
Ah.
Some love it. Some say it's the third failure in a row for Pixar.
What are they doing?
What was the last one? Was
Brave. A lot of, I do not think Brave was a failure. Cars 2,
I thought Brave was okay, but I didn't. It was not.
I liked it, and I liked it better the second time I watched it.
Hmm. Interesting. DVD and Blu-ray, we got 21 and Over. I don't know what that is. Jack the Giant Slayer. I don't know.
21 and Over is one of those found footage party films.
I believe that's the case, yeah.
Yeah.
The Last Exorcism Part 2. I love it when movies have last and then the sequel in it. Like the Neverending Story Part 2 and stuff like that. Quartet, Stephen King's The Stand, Wilfred Season 2, and Workaholics Season 3. Workaholics is the best It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia spinoff. Or not spinoff, copycat.
Copycat. Okay.
Yeah. And video games. We've got new Super Luigi U for the Wii U.
I think it's downloadable content for Super Mario Brothers, Wii U, whatever it is.
Excellent.
Just part of the tons of content coming out for the Wii U. People can't, they can't buy all of it fast enough. They
I think at so this much. Point, Nintendo's got it. Well, we'll talk about that later. Never mind. Next week.
Next week, we'll get to that.
Indeed.
So. I don't know how. There's two other items on here that we want to talk about.
Two.
Yeah. So we're going to be introducing something every week now for coming soon. It's going to be the Scope picks for hit and miss for the upcoming week.
Are we supposed to do one of each?
We don't necessarily have to do one a week. So we're just
I don't have one.
Yeah, we're just going to be presenting to you what we think are things that could be. You can't miss this, or you gotta avoid it based on what we know.
At some point, this piece will be a bit more structured and probably have a little sound element to go with it. But for now, we're plowing ahead.
Boom!
All right. So for this week's hit, we've got Kanye West's new album, Yeezus.
Kanye much more proud about his album than his new child.
Yep. Child's not named Jesus. Also. Is that a hit?
I don't know.
That's Battleship, hit and miss. So I don't know how you guys feel about Kanye, but
I'm excited.
Every Kanye album so far has been super up and down, but the ups are so good.
Yeah.
He usually has one or two big time jams.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the two songs he did on SNL, so I'm excited for this album, and I haven't bothered to get the leak that's out there. I'm just going to wait till it's out.
He crazy, he talented, Jared.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it takes, mm-hmm. I think. And
look at the show.
My pick for a miss coming out this week is World War Z. Even Ooh. Though I'm still hopeful that it's good, I really don't feel like it's going to be much more than a vanity project for Bradley Pitt.
Another movie that's getting big-time mixed reviews, but everything that I've read in said reviews usually has a paragraph like, if you like the book, don't expect to see anything in it in this movie. Yeah. So all of our fears in that are warranted.
Just forget the book existed and just view it on its own, I guess. Right.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brad Pitt has that disease where he can't remember or recognize people by their faces?
I did hear about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess all of Angelina Jolie's abilities are wasted on him.
No, boobs. All boobs.
It's all boobs.
Yeah.
They're like even, Terminator boobs now, too.
Let's not even get into that, shall we? So there you go. There's coming soon from your Scope hosts.
Yeah, and that wraps up Under the Scope.
Let's wrap up Under the Scope then, Jared, shall we? Hey, we're getting to it, man.
Under the Scope.
All right, so we are at the end of our first concentrated show, Jared. There's got to be comments rolling in on the internet about this specific show.
We have no comments on this show.
Damn it!
I want you guys to put yourself in the mind of early May and a little film we saw called Iron Man 3.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
got some comments related to that.
All right.
Jason writes in and says, I think you got it way wrong on the Mandarin.
What?
Like Wonder Woman, he's a comic book character whose time has passed long ago. This version works because we've been so trained to associate Mid-Eastern-looking people with terrorists that to have the rug pulled up from under us makes us look at ourselves and our own prejudices. I think it's safe to say spoilers don't matter at this point. Everyone's seen Iron Man 3, right? Right.
Yes.
The Mandarin turns out not to be the Mandarin we think. So, also, unlike Batman, Iron Man is just as interesting out of the suit as in, so I don't mind seeing Tony Stark develop more as a hero instead of a smug genius. You really miss it on this one. I feel like this comment was directed mostly at me, because I'm the one who rated it at 1.5. I think if after probably considering my opinion, I might raise it up to maybe an even 2. I feel like over time and mental processes, I probably like the film a little bit more, but I still don't think it's the greatest thing ever. Sorry, folks.
You can't throw Tony Stark in with the random kid and call that character growth. I think that you have to pay respect to Iron Man's main arch enemies, and I still think the verdict is out on the Mandarin. I still think that there could be more than meets the eye, and he will
that
be
back.
That
was my idea.
You're right.
Right. If they do that, then I call the film redeemed, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was clever, but I just don't know if it's a fair treatment of the character, racist or not.
Okay. And then we'll finish up with a voicemail from our friend Cyrus in Albuquerque.
All right.
Hello, Jared, Adam, and Shane. This is Cyrus from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
He's a Gamorrean guard.
Hello, Jared, Adam,
I wanted to pause.
Shane.
I hit the wrong
Cyrus
button.
From Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm 23, and I've been listening to the show for a very long time.
I'm guessing there's a well, I guess pauses everything. I guess like there's a dust storm in Albuquerque and he's holed up with a gas mask
okay,
on
let's
or something.
Hope he's
respirator.
Let's hope he's okay.
He may be cooking meth.
Here we go.
I just wanted to say thank you guys for keeping up the awesome job. It's been a really fantastic ride. I've been listening for about 5 years, I'd say. I came into the show through MetroBuzz. I guess when you guys
MetroBuzz
were on the podcast, DevOps or whatever the hell that thing was called, but I immediately latched on to your guys' sense of humor and the type of comedy you put out, and I really, really do appreciate it, so thank you. And I guess I just wanted to try out your voicemail. I love the Tiny Parting Same Freedom. It was really cool. Keep up the awesome job. And P.S. Jared, I hate you because you did not like Iron Man as much as you said.
Yes! Is he on a pier?
Outside, just telling you, probably my favorite, and I love how you keep your scope out afloat. You did a good job.
Talking about me.
Everybody else on the show is great. And yeah, that all I have to say. Thank you guys so much again. Keep up the fantastic job. And I will continue to listen. I can't wait for the next episode. Yep. So I'll see you guys later. Bye.
I think his voicemail is longer than our current format of the show.
Sorry. He had some very, very kind words to say about me. So thank you for calling in, Cyrus, and telling everyone how important I am to the show and how much I do to keep these two suckers afloat.
I look forward to my specific voicemail coming up in a few weeks.
From your mom.
From my mom. And then Adam will get his from
Mandy.
Mandy, of course.
I'm not sure, but
it'd be like keep the show format long and do three of them in a day, so I don't have to see them.
Cyrus, I'm dying to find out why your call is so muffled. So if you wouldn't mind. Please don't call again.
Just, unless you're talking about how great I
am. Write in and maybe jot a note down and maybe explain the quality of it, because I'm baffled at this. And I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just curious.
They don't have very good cell service.
I'm curious how a phone call turns out like that. I don't know. I want to know if it's Google Voice's problem. If Tony Partington somehow scared you so much that you actually made the phone call from a closet. I don't know.
Tony Partington stalking him, demanding that he call in. So is that it, Jared?
That is it. If you want to call in, you can call voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE. You can email us, comments@thescopeshow.com. We're also on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Tumblr. All those links are on our website at
YouTube. We've got a YouTube channel, Jared.
Yep. There's a channel. There's nothing on it yet, but we have a channel. Plans for that are forthcoming.
Yep.
You guys know what year YouTube started in?
1926.
I was going to go 1840. Is that wrong?
One of you is closer than the other. Okay. Not going to give it away, though.
Fair enough. Next time, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Next week.
We could look that up, I suppose.
We won't do that.
That's it for comments.
All right. Anything to plug, Jared?
Yeah. I think this show will be out just before my appearance at Luke's Ski Con in the Chicagoland area. That's coming up the weekend of the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of June. It is a private event for those who supported Luke Ski's Kickstarter thing. So, yeah, I'll be there. And if you listen to the show and I'll also be going to be there, then you'll see me. And we might even do a little segment on the show or for the show at the con. But everyone else who missed out on that whole thing, you're not going to get to go. So I don't even know why I'm talking to you.
We'll tell you all about it in a future episode.
Sure.
Because I'm sure there'll be stories aplenty.
Yep.
Adam, any plugs for you? How's the softball league going? Quickly.
The men's league is 500. Co-ed league, still no wins. That's like 5 years now, not a single win for co-ed.
Are all the teams in that co-ed league not winning? Are you guys just like give up before a final score?
Oh, like, is it like T-ball where there are no winners?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we are.
Everyone gets a chance to bat.
The teams that play us are winning really, really well.
Really?
Yeah. One of these days, we'll get a win.
We'll be cheering for you, Adam.
Thank you.
We will be cheering for you. So let's wrap this thing up, guys. Episode 140 is over. Thanks for going along with this under low experiment. We'll be back in 1 week with another show. See you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
how do you say goodnight in Russia?
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.